Hey guys, it's Saylet. Just wanted to let you know that this recording is going to be a little rough. It was our first time in a studio at the library, and we just didn't get our mics right. So just bear with us through this episode and, you know, go through and listen to it or not. Your choice, whatever you guys want. But just want to let you guys know that we did get better at this, and it does sound good from the next ones on. So just FYI about this recording. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a little bit.
We're reading dirty books.
Hello and welcome to Shh, We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Saylet.
And this is Kalina.
And today, guys, we are sitting at a Denver public library. We won't tell you which one because I don't remember the name of it. But they have a recording studio here, and we're going to test it out and see how the sound sounds.
Yeah. How the sound sounds. Is this better than my bedroom with my neighbors running around upstairs?
Yep.
I'm going to guess it is.
I'm guessing it is. It's got a nice feel. It's not too hot, not too cold.
I'm a bit warm.
Actually, I'm a bit warm too, but I should have said
just
that.
Just going to let you say it. As soon as I said that, I was like, not really.
No, it's pretty hot. But the security guy who just helped to set up all of this equipment.
Guys.
Probably made this room like 40 degrees hotter.
Oh, so warm.
Yes.
Luckily, he's not still in here listening to us.
Yeah, because I sort of invited him to stay, and he's like, I gotta go take care of a car.
You gotta not be in here, do you? It's gonna get real awkward real fast.
Yeah.
I kind of was like, well, we're going to talk about sex, so you should
just stay. And he sat back down and was like, all right, I'll just, you know. No, he didn't. No. But
anyway, so, yeah. So if you like this sound, let us know and maybe we'll keep recording.
Yeah.
We're just giving it a test. We have no idea what this is going to sound like.
No. No, I don't have, you guys, I didn't set anything up. I just brought everything.
We didn't get to hear any of the tests.
No, the testing.
We don't have headphones on right now.
I just don't
know what
to do.
If we could ask for headphones.
I do now. I feel like I need headphones.
Well, we'll ask next time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on. So what is this? What are we doing? Why are we even here? Why are we in a studio recording?
So the reason for this interruption in our regularly scheduled life is we are here to talk about paranormal romance novels. This is what we do. We are here for this podcast.
That's what we are.
So thank you for coming back.
And welcome to join us for this next episode, installment of this podcast. Guys, I had a little drink. Coming to the library. Because I was not sure I could drink wine. And I now have a reason I don't necessarily want to record the rest of the episode.
I was just saying, we have nothing to sip on while we're
Where's my water? I mean, we're not allowed to have it.
No,
in here,
we are in a room full of electronics.
Very dry while talking to you. I'll try not to make mouth noises, but I don't have drinks.
If you do, go like this and then talk. So that I can edit that piece out.
Oh, I see. It does sound bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
So, what did we read?
We read Atlantis Rising by Alyssa Day, narrated by Joshua Swanson.
That is true. That's a true statement.
That is a true statement. 1, 2, 3, Klitz notes.
Yay. Okay, guys. basically, the plot boils down to Prince of Atlantis, who has been captured and tortured for 7 years, escapes, goes to the people world, and falls in love with a human empath. Then they save the Trident of Atlantis from some vampires and a bad goddess lady, and then they save the day, and then they get married and have a baby. Okay, well, she's pregnant.
She is?
Yes. Poseidon told her at the end.
I missed it when Poseidon told her.
Poseidon showed up and was like, that bitch is pregnant, and she's your wife, and you're going to marry her, and she's going to be queen.
The end. Thanks for
coming. That is what Poseidon said.
What? I missed. Okay.
Okay, so it's after the... Now we're just jumping. After the battle. Conlan was going to denounce his throne so he could marry her because he didn't want the rules of Atlantis are that when he rises to become king, ascends to his throne, he gets married to whoever the council has decided for him. They pick a Atlantean virgin, you know, royal bloodline lady and give her to him in marriage, and then he becomes king and he doesn't get to choose. You don't, like, none of the kings have gotten to choose their queens. Was like, bullshit, I've got a soul bond with this woman because she's empathic, and they keep using a word like Akshashana, and I don't know if that's the word.
Aknasha.
And and so he was going to denounce his throne, and, well, Poseidon didn't show up, but he spoke through the priest guy, Alaric. And he said, you will not denounce your throne. You will take this pregnant woman as your wife. She will be... because she's actually descendant of Atlantis. That's the empaths are. Mm-hmm. When Atlantis fell, they left Atlantis and came to live among humans. And so their descendants are these empathic women. Or they could be all people. It doesn't have to be only women. But empathic people around the planet. And those are descendants of Atlanteans. So he's like, you're my great-granddaughter. You're going to marry this dude. And
Poseidon
said that, not the king. God, that, oh, fuck.
It wouldn't be the first pass of fucking incest in this book, so.
That's true. It wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, so Poseidon was like, no, it's cool. I anoint her as my own, and you can marry her, and she can be queen, and she's already pregnant with your son, and he's gonna rule this whole world, basically. Like, it's some kind of prophecy.
Yeah. Atlantis is gonna rise, I guess.
Hence the title of the book. Atlantis Rising. So that's it. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. And
yeah.
That's all that I could tell you.
There was so much going on in this book. A lot of characters, maybe a little bit too much world building, and almost everybody dies except for the good guys. None of the good guys die.
No.
Well,
they all die a little and then come back.
Yeah. So
we lose almost all of them at some point.
And then they get saved.
But then they get saved. There's like three different layers of plot, bad guy plotting, and... by the end, all of them, I think, are dead.
Yeah.
Or the first layer was an insurrection from within Atlantis. They stole the trident because they thought the king who had been captured, or not the king, the prince who had been captured for 7 years, was dead. They're just like, look, we can't keep waiting on this asshole. He's dead. Well, they didn't say asshole. That would have been rude. He'd been kidnapped. So he's obviously dead. He's been gone for 7 years. So let's stop waiting. Bad things are happening up on the surface. The vampires have come out and they're taking power away from humans. One of the vampires became senator or something, and it's all real fucked up.
Yeah, anyway. They get real into the government.
But then he gets killed immediately, so now they're not in the government anymore, and I don't understand. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, this branch of Atlanteans steals the trident because they're like, we can't keep hiding ourselves under the ocean and not paying attention to the real world. But then most of them die, and then the rest get saved by the good Atlanteans who aren't traitors. And they get the trident back, and yeah, so it's a big thing. It's a thing. But really, it's just about Conlan and Riley. Riley's the empathic social worker lady, and Conlan's the prince of Atlantis.
Yeah, so obviously you have to build a storyline around the characters, otherwise it'll just be two people fucking. Which is...
We've done that book, it's fine. I mean, really, what was the plot of Twice the Drow?
Yes, right.
It was just people finding each other, which is a perfectly fine plot. I'm not saying that, because obviously we read paranormal romance, we want stories about worlds, and we want them to be built, and that's fine. I think the biggest hang-up for this book, it's not that bad. It's not. It's a fine book. I think it's obviously a very early, like, maybe a first book or an early new writer.
Mm-hmm.
It was written in 2007. It's Alyssa Day's, as far as we could tell, it's definitely the first in this world.
Yeah.
And she has, like, 20 in this world now.
Yeah.
But I think it was, we weren't very good at finding out things, because we're not great. But I think it might even be her first book.
Yeah.
Or at least her first published or something.
And if it is, it definitely shows, not in a terrible way, it's just an obvious way. I feel like if I were to have one of the stories that I have been writing for years and years and years, it would be something to this. I mean, mine would be worse, because let's just face it, I'm not good at that kind of stuff. But there were some inconsistencies through the book that
should have been picked up probably better through editing and stuff.
And just like cutting out, like finding out the pieces that weren't going to be important and cutting them out. Like to have a three layers of plot of bad guys involved, but then to have all of them killed by the end of the book. Like you would think, and usually these books, their series, somebody would have to hang around to be the main driving force for the rest of the story. I mean, we've seen that in so many of the series that we read, you know, in the Lords of the Underworld, they're fighting Cronus the whole time and they're doing, you know, or the Institute people that are always trying to lock them up. Like, you know, there's always some one or two agencies or actors that are going to be the overall bad guy for the series. I feel as if they all just died, so who the fuck is left?
They have disappeared. That's why I'm wondering if anybody is left over from the government. This world is filled with werewolves and vampires. I think so too. Unless it's going to build out a bigger story about how the new world is going to be and how the government's going to take over. Because the vampire has pretty much taken over. The vampires have taken over the government.
They have one senator.
But they've gotten... I don't know. It's so weird. I think my understanding of this, like how I interpreted this book, is coming out way different than you and I feel the same about this book.
But we aren't understanding the book the same.
We're not understanding.
We're finding a lot of things that I think go one way and she thinks is another way.
So if anybody out there read it, can you please let us know which one of us is wrong?
We'll find out in future books. But here's the thing. Okay. There was one senator. So they don't have the whole thing. But he was strategically killing off opposition leaders who were opposing him. So he was able to push through a couple of bills. This is so nuanced, weird shit that I just don't think needed to be in this book.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't want this. I think it really just needed to boil down to the soldiers of Atlantis had to go find the Trident. And when they came up on land, they run into an empath immediately who changes their whole ball game because they haven't had an empath in, you know, a century, a millennia, who knows. And now they have one who can read their emotions, practically read their thoughts, and also send her emotions and thoughts to them. And so I think that really is what the story is about. There's all these superfluous things flowing around where we're talking about fucking Senate bills and cuts to social services. And I'm like, why is this in here? And then there's like random other like shapeshifters who are bad, but then they're not bad because all the shapeshifters are on the side of the rebels who are trying to overthrow the vampires for taking control from the humans. Why is there so much in this? It's too much.
There are literally five different groups of people in this book. And they all have a part in this book that is unnecessary. I think a lot of this book could have easily have been spread between two or three books. Build the world, but you also have chances to continue building the world in the next coming books.
Which obviously needs to happen because I honestly can't tell you very much about this world.
It's going to be very difficult when you've already killed off the main goddess.
There's just no way
Vampire
Queen
Anubisha
is dead.
I don't even remember how she was. Oh, she got speared by the Trident.
Well, she didn't. She got powered by the Trident. They didn't stick her with it, but they...
I don't know.
They shot blue-green light power at her.
Oh.
I don't think you caught a lot of the end.
Apparently, I didn't. I also listened through this twice. Almost. Mm-hmm. I got probably 7/8 of the way through the second part. So, I didn't catch a lot of it. I didn't know she was pregnant.
Well, it's one sentence. And then they don't even reference it. So, Poseidon says it. And then they don't really say much. Like, when he leaves, that isn't, like, their number one topic of discussion, which it would have been mine. It's just,
there's a lot going on. A lot.
I think that, like, we could sit here for 5 hours discussing how frustrating some of the plot things were.
Sure.
But that's not even important. Because you know what's important?
The important thing is Riley fell in love. So she's the empath?
All of those
All of those? Okay.
I don't know about the third one.
Falling in love with Conlan, he's got an army of 7 dudes that are all, like, super strong and, like...
I mean, it's standard.
It's a standard. So
these books.
I want to know, I mean, like, really, what is with the number 7? Almost all of our group of guys are in a group of 7. Like,
that's a nice biblical number.
Is it?
I don't know. It just feels like... right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Either seven?
Yes. He goes, "This I'm going to introduce you to my group of seven men," or something. When he allows her to leave the room, because he, like, quote unquote, takes her and keeps her because he wants to try to figure out how it is that she is communicating with them, because she can read their minds and feel how they feel, because she's an empath. So he takes her to his brother's fucking cottage in the somewhere.
One of his brother's hideouts. Yeah, one of his houses. A lot of hideouts mm-hmm. around town.
And so she meets the guys, and yeah, there's yeah. seven of them. He says it's specific.
I can't track any of them because their names are nonsense.
Their names are nonsense, and they almost all, besides Bastion, who I think has a sexy voice, because of how Joshua had read him, was really the only one. But
only one I could differentiate.
They all pretty much sounded the same. Sounded the same. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. That was just any. So hey, yeah. Conlan and Riley have sex. Yeah. That's the important part of this book.
I think what was difficult about their relationship was it was so fucking instantaneous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of these books. It's like, I saw him and that was it. I knew for, that he was the only one for me for life.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. This was like, they didn't even, like, see each other. Like, and then they pretended to, like, not like each other, but they were also desperately in love with each other from the first minute. They couldn't be apart. I mean, it was intense on a level that was just unrealistic.
She was in a situation where she went to the beach past curfew, and because there are supernatural creatures out in the world, you're not supposed to be by yourself on the beach. Which anywhere. I actually think that's just the rule now without supernatural creatures.
Yeah, as a woman, don't go to the beach at night alone.
So she decided to go, and like three or four guys almost attacked her. Would have raped her. They probably would have killed her. Like, it was just a bad situation, and Conlan does go to her rescue. But there's tension. There's tension between her and him. There's tension between him and those guys, and then those guys and her.
Well, things kept happening that didn't get explained.
Yeah.
Like, he would, like, pass out.
He did. He just and fell over.
I was thinking we were supposed to interpret that as her emotional response was overwhelming, and so we passed out.
That's not how I... No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay.
Dude, I wonder. We were drinking different things while we were listening. Which Atlantis Rising did you read?
Oh, that could end up happening to us one day.
Hey, it would have happened with our next book if I didn't see that it was a different author. Because I showed you a different cover. It wasn't what we said it was. But anyway, I mean, from him just falling down, I feel like that was just from the aftermath of him, like, being beaten.
No, it was a psychic. He got overwhelmed by emotions and passed out.
That's so crazy.
And so that's why they were kind of, like, that's why all the guys were kind of upset with her, because they think she was attacking. That's why they also thought she attacked Alaric in the that one scene where he said she was going to die.
Oh, yeah.
But so these things kept happening. I don't want to talk about plot anymore. I want to talk about their relationship. Because I think that's more crucial. Because, you know, like, obviously this is new. Like, you know, mm-hmm. It's a new world. It's a new book. It's new. Like, I think she was a new writer when she started it. So a lot of that is forgivable stuff that you're going to learn and you're going to get
yeah.
better at.
Yeah.
And you're going to understand how to craft that plot better and, like, to make it really flow. And it's just, that takes time. That no one's going to know that
sure.
innately.
And not okay. only that, but I mean, we haven't read the second book. Maybe all of this stuff is pertaining to it, and it's just like, oh, I understand.
But even if it pertains to it, there's a better way to
sure.
Lay it out so that it doesn't feel disjointed. Even
yeah.
if you're going to bring it back up in a book or three, there's a way to do it. But I feel as if the characters needed the most work.
Okay.
What is Conlan? Who is Conlan? What?
Why?
Why is Conlan? Is he a robot?
He is totally a robot. He was very old speak-y.
Yeah, a lot of the Atlanteans talked in very
I kind of
royal
feel like he was the only
British
one.
British English.
His brother
Ven. Oh, no, they all did it.
Really? Because I felt like Ven didn't.
Ven less than anybody, but they all slipped into it. The little one who was, like, her protector,
Danil.
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 Danil. Danil.
Denali.
Now we're just making names up.
he did. He's like, perchance, milady, may I have a muffin?
That's true. And oh, he was the one that did it most. Yes.
But even, like, the guy who had no emotions did it. Bastion, yeah. Not as much. Then there was the one who I never remembered, and they always would hit whenever he spoke. The one with a C name. Not Conlan. Caspian, I think, or something.
I think it was. It starts with an A. I think it was like
Nope. Something
else.
Nope.
Duh. Nope. Alistair.
No, he's the priest.
No, that was Alaric.
Yeah.
No, that was okay.
Caspian. Caspian.
I think we read different books. I swear to God, we listen to different books. That's going to be the most interesting recording ever, if that ever happens to us. This guy is standing in the window staring at us talk.
No, he's reading. He's reading the sign on the window.
Good. Okay. So two things wrong with this studio so far.
Now we know. But yeah, so Conlan's a robot.
He's totally a robot.
And,
dude.
And Riley is not much.
No. Her sister, Quinn, at least is like a fucking vigilante. Like, she is.
But, hey, Riley keeps putting herself in danger. And she does. She's not, she's strong and she's badass, but she's nothing more, like, she's really, literally defines herself as being a social worker. And yeah. She does it repeatedly throughout the book. She's like, I'm just a social worker. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what does that have to do with what's happening right now?
Not anymore, you ain't, sweetheart.
So, I don't know. It's, I wanted to like this book so much. I was so fucking excited to have a world of Atlantis to explore and to have, like, the fucking, Atlantis come and save the day.
And at least in our timeline at this moment, it won't be in a couple months when this is released, but Aquaman just came out.
Yeah.
Like,
where's my
goddamn
Jason Momoa? I know,
right? Fuck. It was, like, perfect timing for us. So that was... It was just what was we had wanted. But, you know, so all of that stuff aside, they make out for the first time about...
Instantly.
2 minutes after they meet, after they bicker.
Yeah.
About what you're doing here, why can you read my mind? They start making out on the beach, and there's an instant pull, instant connection. Then he takes her from her apartment after they get attacked by vampires.
He lets her go, and then he shows up. When she runs away, that's when he falls down. Yes.
She doesn't run away. He lets her go. And then, because then they have this moment where he's looking at her, and she's up there at her car, and she looks back at him.
But I'm saying, on the beach, he passed out. That's when
she
left.
Yeah, after she left.
Yeah.
Not before she left.
Because of her emotions, he passed out. Yes, because he wouldn't have let her go.
No. Oh my God, what's happening?
No.
So you're saying that he let her go because she had too much emotion?
She made him pass out.
No, he passed out after she left. Because she wouldn't have left him if he'd passed out before.
She didn't want him to take, he kept saying he was going to take her home, and she was like, no, you're fucking not.
Well, no, I knew that was happening, but... So then she went to her car, she turned back and looked at him.
And he passed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that she couldn't... I don't fucking know. It doesn't matter. But, like, because then he was passed out when his people came to help him. Because he had called for backup, remember? They weren't all coming.
Right.
Just he was going.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got attacked psychically by her powers and her emotions, and he called for help.
I'm crying. Okay.
Because she was freaking out because of her day.
Yes. Well, she had a terrible day.
Yes. Anyway.
So.
Then she decides she dreamed it all. And then he shows up at her house at night and tells her to come down. And then they all get attacked by vampires.
Yep.
And then she steps in front of a vampire for him.
Yeah. Yeah, have you noticed in all the fight scenes, he gets taken down really quickly?
All of them. He's not good at
this. He's not very good at fighting.
Well, he has been, I don't know, prisoner for 7 fucking years.
7 years. 3 days. Or 3 weeks. 7 years, 3 weeks, and 11 days. To be precise.
Also known as 7 years, 1 month, and a day. Don't know why it's broken out that way, but that's okay.
Just what it is.
So
anyway, yeah, and then from there he takes her, and, you know, they have this attraction. Things don't happen, and then they do happen. She meets the guys. They send out a really big sex vibe. Naturally, all the guys are like, there's a woman in our midst. We're all really fucking horny.
Really just two of them.
Ven does say, though.
Oh, Ven does.
He's like, you guys are setting off a vibe that is making all the guys in the house.
Yeah, but I feel like the other guys wouldn't say anything about it.
No, they wouldn't. But then Ven would, because he's Colin's house. Brother. And then it's his house. So he could tell the prince anything he wants.
Yeah, he'd be like, stop it, dude.
Yeah. So, anyway.
So.
Do we want to talk about their first sex scene?
Well, I think we have to, because it's really the only thing to talk about. I just don't understand their emotional bond. For a book that is all about emotions and characters connecting to each mm-hmm. other, deeply emotionally, it's not in the writing.
So, if,
it
yes.
does not come through. I don't buy it. Yeah. At no point do I feel these characters actually love each other.
So, I think there was an intent there that maybe yes. Alyssa tried to portray, especially if this was one of her first books, was that, you know, like, to explain how you are feeling deep down inside about someone that you love or potentially love or is a love interest or whatever, may be very difficult to explain. It may be hard to put into words. But you're right. For a book with the content of being able to express emotions and feel, like literally feel how someone feels about you or anything, any situation, mm-hmm. it didn't come out as well as maybe it should have. Mm-hmm. If that was what her purpose is. Because it sounds like it is. Sounds like that's what she's there for.
That is Riley's whole, mm-hmm. I mean, that's her lineage, it's her history, it's what her, you know, ancestors from Atlantis were, is they were empathic mm-hmm. beings who served Atlantis with their emotion, like, mm-hmm. you know, used their emotional ties and understanding, and so sex. Finally.
So, okay, here's something that's maybe our listeners probably find super annoying about us. When they talk too much during sex, we complain. When they don't explain what they're doing before sex, we complain. We're just not satisfied with anything ever. The sex in this was good. I think
it
was
really good.
But well, I think he was too verbal.
Good with a caveat.
Okay. What caveat?
It was not different. Each scene was the same.
Yeah.
There was no oral. There was no doggy style or reverse, or like positions.
Yeah.
Or I guess he gave her oral once.
Just once. That was the second time, I think.
Okay, so there was that. But other than that, it was very much like standard.
It was just traditional sex.
Traditional penetrative sex. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was good, though. They were very good scenes. I mm-hmm. liked them. Hot, sexy.
They still did its purpose.
Sure.
But yeah, definitely got the message across.
Oh, yeah.
Still, you know, get you a little bothered and stuff. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was listening to it at work, and people kept coming to talk to me, and they'd be like, nah, no, no.
Like, stop it.
They're having sex.
They're having squishies
just
right now.
Let me get through it.
I don't know why. Why do I do this? Do I do this a lot where I just stick my arms up in the air? No.
I think maybe only while we're podcasting.
Not normally when I'm being a normal person.
I'll try to pay attention in our normal life to see if you do that.
Okay.
Or if it's just a podcast.
Because I feel stupid doing it. When I notice that I'm doing it.
I'm talking directly at the mic as if it's a person. I'm like, did you see that? And the mic's like, I'm not a person. I'm a microphone. I feel somehow the podcasters will understand that that's what I was doing. Like, you know? But, you know, so you were saying about him talking too much.
Yeah, I feel like, their first time having sex, they were both like, okay, we really need to do this. We really want it. Let's just do this. And he was just like, okay, but I can't wait anymore. I'm just warning you now that I'm just going to fuck you. We're not going to do any of the extra stuff. So, I mean, I guess he did explain it. I'm not going to do, we're not going to foreplay. We're just going to fuck.
But he
does say it. Well, I think the second or third time or whatever, he did.
The first time, they kind of...
He
doesn't penetrate her without...
He puts his hands down there first. Yeah, he puts a finger or two inside her.
He always makes sure she's ready, which is key.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, especially with people as well endowed as our book men are, that's a problem.
Yes, and he was very, very...
They all are. Like, has
that.
Anybody ever been described as being like, well, he's a giant, muscly man, but that dick. I was a little surprised how small it was.
He's just something that good to look at.
I did have one of the only thing. Okay, not the only thing. Everybody had a cup. In this sex scenes, like, they always, like, in a lot of the books, there was, like, to the hilt, like, as far as, you know, until she could take no more, whatever. They use that kind of phrasing a lot. But this one, at one point, he hits her womb.
Oh,
and I'm in the middle of my periods. I'm having serious cramps anyway, and I just went, my cervix hurts. Because if you've ever had someone who's just too long for you insist that they're not too long for you and hit that cervix, and it's like, stop, just fucking end there.
It's painful.
It sucks so
that
bad.
Shit, it's painful. I think I have a wandering womb, or what is it?
So you...
What is that called? That's down there that you just said, cervix.
All cervixes move.
Okay.
They do. They move depending on where you are in your cycle. They change consistency. They can be harder or like softer. And during arousal, so ideally when you're having sex, they get very big and they go up. So there's more space. They create more space in the vaginal canal and they get very soft.
Wow.
And puffy.
Evolution's awesome.
But if you aren't aroused, that's likely when you're going to experience. And I don't necessarily.
Kalita knows things. Dr. Kalita's talking. Shut the fuck up.
Sometimes I'm like, you don't ever get any of it right. And I'll be like, I thought I had it. But anyway. Yeah, if you're not really fully aroused or like ready, your cervix can be lower and firmer, that's when it gets hit. With
okay.
The penis, and it's like, ow, stop.
Definitely.
That's where my cervix is. Right now.
That definitely explains sometimes why, like if you know Dan and I are getting into it and I get on top, I have to really ease myself and work myself a little bit more. It doesn't matter like how wet I am or how ready or aroused or whatever. If I can't sit on him fully without it hurting, then I have to really, really brace myself. And I have to move in a certain way so that it doesn't. And then eventually,
It could be a different time in your cycle when your cervix is located differently. So, yeah, it's not technically wandering. But, yeah, your cervix changes throughout your cycle depending on hormones. So,
yeah,
it could be lower one time and you're going, man, I keep hitting this and it's not. Pleasant.
Well, that makes sense. I was just using wandering womb because
yeah,
that's what they used to say.
They used to say women were crazy because our wombs were wandering.
So then I just go to dance.
That's
and
hysterical. The literal definition, like hysterical, the breakdown of that word is hysteria, which is women, like womb.
The wandering womb.
Makes you crazy.
And so you just go and get jerked off.
Yes, doctors also did use it. Which also doesn't help. But.
Dan, my womb is wandering. I need you to jerk me off. Thanks.
So, no, I was having that imagery in this particular sex scene. She was like, right up into my womb. And I was like, ow. You hurt my cervix.
Oh, it hurt me, too.
I was like, don't touch the womb.
I was listening. Yeah, when I heard that part, I was like, ouch.
Ow,
that's
so
some
far.
Good details there, but yeah.
There is a limit to how far a penis can go.
Yeah. But anyway, I prefer not the talking too much during sex. You know, like, okay, that's a okay, here's where the contradiction comes in as well.
Absolutely.
Because the boss from Abigail Owens.
Owen. I know, I do that
we
too.
We keep saying
it's just
Owens
with
and
no
it's
S.
just Owen. Abigail Owen, there's a scene in there where he was like, pretty much... teasing her and saying, does it make you feel hot? Does it get you aroused and wet knowing that all of the guys in the firehouse right now know that you're ready to fuck. And then she's like, and she gets hot from listening to this. So he's talking to her and explaining that kind of stuff to her. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really hot scene. But something about, I don't know, maybe it's the...
I will tell you what it is.
Okay, thanks.
Because I had it too.
Okay.
His diction and use of language is very reminiscent of Stefano.
Oh, Stefano.
When he called her my... Anushka, or my love, my amor, instant flashbacks mm-hmm. to Stefano, because mm-hmm. it was like almost the exact sentence that he used with Francesca all the time.
Oh my god.
And Ashunka is almost, I mean, he called her that a lot too, and it sounded
Ignacia.
Like Ignacia. Whatever, you don't need to know it. You're listening to us tell you what it is, and I said it was Ashunka. But, and so in the scene, especially their first sex scene, because he's mm-hmm. like, I need you to, you know, tell me that you want me. Tell me this. Do yeah. that. He was being very, it isn't, it's not just, okay, this is parsing things so far. But, like, in The Boss, in that one scene, their mm-hmm. first scene, where she's like, just tell me what to do. I can't think anymore. I yeah. need sex. I need sex with
but
you.
But I need you to.
And I just need you to take over.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. he tells her, you know, put your head down, put your ass up, do mm-hmm. this, mm-hmm. don't grab, put your hands here. That can sound very bossy, but she had given him permission to do it, uh-huh. and he wasn't demanding responses of her, right. other than doing the things he asked,
yes.
right?
Right.
Whereas in a lot of these where the men are like, I need you to tell me that you want this, or that you... That doesn't sound right. There's a certain way that some of the conversations go where I just feel...
It's almost like they're demanding their submission. That they're yeah. demanding that they acknowledge their dominance. That
yes,
the man's
that's
dominance.
The word.
That's what it is.
And it's like, yeah. And yeah. I don't like... That's when I get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to talk to you right now. Just fuck me. Like, don't
yeah.
demand anything. Obviously, you're dominant. Mug me. like, obviously. So those are the things that... are harder. And so, yeah, I didn't love him at the beginning of their first sex.
Yes.
I didn't
yeah.
think he was doing that. Because he'd already made his point
yeah.
of, he had said to her, you can go. I'll let you go, but you have to leave and not come back. He's like, if you stay, you are agreeing to not just tonight, but forever. Which also, dude, that's intense. I can agree to things one at a time. Nothing ever means forever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can
sure.
change my mind tomorrow on forever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, obviously they're soulmates, so it's fine.
yeah, Dash, she's fucking stuck.
So, but she agreed. She stayed. She's like, no, I'm going to stay. I want to stay. I want you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that should have been enough in my mind. But then he proceeded to keep, like, talking to her and demanding her to say things to him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ask me to say things to you while we're having sex.
No, I don't want to hear
I
don't want to hear
me. You can
talk
if you need to. I don't love it, but if you need to talk, I'll let you talk, but don't ask me to talk to you.
Because
if you are trying to engage my brain, you failed. Now sex no
yeah.
longer is working because now I'm thinking. And my brain is very counterintuitive, useful item for sex.
And it shouldn't be. I mean, if you're already in the mood and you don't need more encouragement than, you know, to get into the mood, you're already fucking, just fuck. You don't need help to get more aroused or whatever.
Well, and
is.
They also were feeling each other's emotions the whole time. Why do you need verbalization of any of the shit you're getting out
you're
of her
already
fucking
feeling it.
Heart?
That's true.
They're
I
like
think
in
of
each
that.
Other's hearts and souls for the whole mm-hmm. fucking anywhere. We're just I liked I can't say I liked this book. I can say I didn't hate it, though.
I didn't hate this book, either.
I don't want you guys to think I hated it.
No.
I didn't. I really did like the sex, and I was happy when it came around,
mm-hmm.
and it was three or four nicely written sex scenes.
Yeah, no, they were really good, and, I mean, and I also didn't have to, I don't have a problem with, I think, the overall plot.
No,
it was
no,
just
no.
bringing it all together in one book in the beginning, which just kind
that's
of...
That's it. It was a little jumbled. I
yeah.
mean, where they even started the book, it's so out of the blue, you're just like,
yeah.
what is happening? It was instantaneously things were happening, and you're like, I don't understand.
Even going from chapter to chapter was kind of like...
That was and I think that can come with...
Do you think maybe that was the development, recording? Or?
It might have been part of the recording, but I felt there weren't breaks. Like, so, and they would switch to a whole different... characters in different areas all of a sudden are doing things, and you're just like, what?
In a second. And you would go from one Atlantean group to the other Atlantean group, and you wouldn't have
and all you known. Have are like 17 very confusing names to tell you who's doing what and why. Mm-hmm. I did not pick up on the second Atlantean group for half the book. I was like, what are they talking about? I thought somebody else had stolen the trident, like the vampires, or a new and Nubishka. What's her name?
That one
it's
I didn't.
It's Anubis, and then it has something on the end that makes it feminine. Anubisa?
Okay.
It's Anubis. No. The whole time I was like, do you mean Anubis?
Yeah. Anubis.
But it's not. It's Anubisa.
It's not Anubisa. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean...
The plot is fine.
Yeah.
And there... Okay. I loved... the scene where she gets left at the house with the guy whose name is not Denali.
I think it's
and
Denal.
Barber. And
not Barber.
No, it's not, but I'm going to call him Barber. Denali and Barber. She gets left at the house with Denali and Barber, and the vampires attack, and she, like, kills some of them and helps them fight, and she's so cool. And
oh, yeah, no.
She's stabbing them with a fucking umbrella. And then she gives up her life for them.
Because they die.
They die. They die defending her.
Yeah.
And she calls down Poseidon and...
She challenges him. She's like, look, motherfucker. Show your face.
You're a fucking some water nymph. Mm-hmm. And she demands that he save them, and he does, and takes her as... Well, she gives up her life for them, but he doesn't kill her. He just marks her as... His
great-great-great-granddaughter.
Or one of his priestesses.
She becomes a priestess
yeah.
of Atlantis.
So I loved that scene. That scene was fantastic.
That was a good scene.
And the little snippet afterwards where the bad vampire says that he used a tree branch to sneak out the trident.
Oh, I missed that part.
Oh my god. That shit was funny and cute. And I was like, this whole book needed more of this. So... The trident, which had been with the other Atlanteans, all of a sudden leaves them and goes to her because Poseidon gives it to her to save her and to save the friends, Barber and Denali. And then by the time the other Atlanteans come back, the trident's not there, right? Mm-hmm. Did you catch that? That it was gone?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what was the fucking head but Barber head...
The head legislator?
Yes.
It was Barber.
It was a Barber.
I think his name is Brennan. I think. I'm sure it's Brennan and Denal.
Okay, whatever. But Barber was his...
He was...
The vampire?
Oh, well, he was part... He was a vampire.
Was that his human name or his vampire name? Because his vampire name was much more, like, vampire-y.
I didn't know he had a vampire.
He had two names.
Oh,
anyway, it doesn't matter. Head vampire was there with his minions who had gone into the house, but he couldn't go in because he didn't get invited. She had invited...
The pizza guy?
Yeah, she thought it was the pizza guy. So she's like, come on in, guys. Or she didn't say guys.
Yeah.
But she just said, come on in. And that was enough of an invitation for the, like, seven vampires that rushed them and killed them. But they all died, too. And he was still outside. He didn't get to go in. So he couldn't grab the trident because it's just laying there. They're all passed out.
Yeah, but he's just...
And so he used a tree branch to sneak the trident out the door. That's such a good fucking part.
That was the best part.
You're right past it. Actually, you might be coming up on it the second time around, so listen to it again.
I think I've passed it because she... She has already been woken up after she gave her life up for them.
Yeah, but I don't know if at that point yet we know that the trident's been taken by the vampire.
Oh, is that it? Okay, okay, okay.
They didn't know that it where it had gone.
Okay.
So to them, it wasn't weird that it wasn't there. To me, it was instantly like, well, where the fuck did the trident go? She had it, and now it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So when it finally came up that he had snuck it out with a tree branch, I was fucking loved it. Because he couldn't go in the house because he's a vampire. He didn't get invited in. I'm sorry. That was great.
No, that's cool. I'm sad I missed that part.
There's snippets here that are just really good and, like, fun scenes.
Yeah.
And, like, it's there. It just needs some work. And I bet you we get there by the end.
Sure. I think I was too caught up on some of the other inconsistencies that I heard, like the timing of it, the 7 years and all of that stuff. There was another part in the book where, or the beginning, where she describes Quinn as her baby sister, but then for the rest of the book, Quinn describes Riley as her baby sister, and they're practically...
They're 10 months apart.
Irish twins?
Irish twins, yeah.
They're...
Sorry, Irish people.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, it's just... I think I got caught up in some of that kind of stuff where I was just like, I don't... And it's my fault. It's not... It's just how I've interpreted it. I just kind of put up that blockade, and so I lost my pen.
You did.
Anyway.
Yeah. We should do our kiss and tell.
Let's do it.
So, because... Like a lot of books that we've read, this is a group of seven or X number of men that I guess they don't typically all live together, but they are currently all living in inhabiting Vengeance's house.
Mm-hmm. What did you just call him?
Vengeance. That's his name.
His full name is Oh, shit. Sorry. Microphone. His full name. What the fuck? I swear we didn't read the same book. His name is Vengeance? I thought his name was just Ven.
No.
Kalina, why is his name Vengeance?
Because he's the Vengeance.
No.
Yes, he's the Vengeance of Atlantis.
Then what does Conlan mean?
Conlan.
That's not fair.
One of their names is Justice and one of their name is Bastion. Those aren't the, like, and then
But
Justice.
They're not brothers. They're not brothers.
I didn't name these fucking people.
I'm sorry. I do not accept it.
His real name may not be Vengeance.
Okay.
But they call him
I'm liking this better.
Because he is the Vengeance of Atlantis.
I will fucking take that answer. I will not accept
that his name is Vengeance.
But
did you accept that one of their names is Justice?
They're not brothers, though. Do you get what I'm saying?
I know, but why... I don't like...
I know a Justice who doesn't spell it like
I know
Liberty
Justice
and Justice.
Spells it like a Justice. I know a whole family whose all their names are Justice, Liberty, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't have a problem with Justice being a name. But typically in these books, the names are similar. Or, like, they follow patterns. And this one's don't.
Christoph.
It's
Christoph.
Carter.
Connor, that's the one I like to say all the time. It's Connor.
I don't know. See, I think that's the thing. Is for shorthand, they typically have like names that somehow go together. They're either like things or emotions or ideas or something. So it's easy kind of to remember them. These ones, it's very hard.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Anyway, so you're so not only in this book, but in other books we've had where the main couple. You know, spend their night together, get it on, whatever. And then the next morning, the character, usually the woman, has to go downstairs and face, you know, 6-7 other giant, burly warrior men who all just know she had sex last night.
Yep.
And it's always, like, one of those awkward, like, morning after things.
Yep.
And so I thought, we've never discussed how weird that is and how many of our stories have that scene.
Oh, yeah.
And how that's not real life because you never just have sex in the middle of, like, a fire station and all of the firemen know you are having sex and then you hang out with them the next day. This is just not how things go. So I thought we would do that for Kiss and Tell. The equivalent of that is like, have you ever woken up the next day to 7 men who all know you've had sex?
Well... I think that's
or
a good
like
question.
That.
Like
that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not necessarily like a walk of shame at all.
No.
It's more of a...
just an awkward next day where, like, you know people overheard you.
We fucked. I can't say that it happened where I walked out to a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have been at parties where I just kind of, like, skirted away, had a quickie, and then came back.
Yeah.
And people may or may not have known.
People may or may not have walked in on it.
Oh. People may or may not have recorded it. I may be on a porn site somewhere that I don't know of. I mean, not really, not in that sense where there was a big group of guys or
people. Well, no, because, I mean, this is an exaggerated, yeah.
No, for sure. But maybe, like, one or two friends.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't think of a specific situation right now, but I'm pretty sure it's happened. Especially when, you know, you're younger. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell because I was 21 when I got married. But it's... I'm going to have to go with maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything really similar to this. I feel like the closest would have been college. Because mm-hmm. that's when you have the most... people kind of inhabiting the same space.
Yeah.
And when you, like, go to fool around, everyone is literally just right there.
Yeah.
And so they kind of, like, and then they walk out and you're like, yeah, but, you know. But it's still not the same as this. More recently, a couple years ago, my current guy and I first started seeing, hooking up. I should use that term. At a friend's house, at a party, at a we spent the night mm-hmm. over at a friend's house,
mm-hmm.
and so the next morning I was pretty much like,
"So,
I wonder if she knows that that just happened."
This happened. Oh, totally.
Of course she knows.
And here, let me tell you something.
Oh no.
I don't think we've ever. Maybe we have. I have a great memory. Remember?
Yes.
We knew before you. Confessed to us. We knew for, I mean, how long had it been before you confessed? You confessed
like
the
year.
Very first night before we recorded. The very first recording.
No.
To me.
I didn't think I...
You did. You said just to let you know because it's going to come out on some of these episodes while we're talking about our sex capades.
I didn't think I had told you until like episode 4 or 5.
No, it was episode 1.
Okay.
You were standing in your kitchen. You just cooked that pizza.
Like, I gotta tell you.
Oh, yeah. You had, yeah. Which was, and I, like a good friend, pretended
like you did
I
not
didn't
know.
And I'm confessing now that we didn't know because we didn't want it to be awkward and make you feel like, about it. Not that, I don't even think that you did. But
no.
Even so, it was just like, oh, that's cool. And we all fucking saw it months and months and months before it even happened. Like, we were there while it was just, I mean, without you guys actually fucking, you guys were fucking in the room with us. Like, you know what I mean? With all that flirting and it was beautiful.
No.
So.
It was somebody who was like, I'm going to get sex tonight.
For sure.
I don't care what you have to say about it. It was very much that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
the next morning I was like,
so
hey, they got with them and I was like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So they got to see it. I didn't get to see it. I've left, but.
Yeah.
That's all good. It's a good thing.
See? But it's not as awkward as in these books because it's not like super hearing powers and super smelling powers.
I know, right? Smelling powers. Here's the other thing, too, is these women are, what I really, really appreciate about this book is that really all we know about her is that she's got, I guess we don't really know. I don't really know because I don't remember shit. Ven calls Riley Lady Sunshine because of the color of her hair. Other than that, and she's got long legs, like other than that, I don't know too much about her, so I got to create my own character of her, which was really
That's good. True. She's not too described.
Really, none of them. Ven is a little bit taller than Conlon.
One of them has a long blue ponytail.
Yeah.
And a sword.
And so it's just like they're
And somebody
not,
has a scar.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, like, not so detailed that we don't get to use our own imagination. So I really appreciated that. I liked that. Because I like to picture my own people
mm-hmm.
when I'm reading these books.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But what I was trying to say was, so she's obviously you've got this person that you're thinking of in your head. She's also walking out after being fucked by a fucking prince that's just gorgeous as hell into another room with the whole bunch of other men that look exactly like him. Like, that's a little nerve-wracking, I think.
That's crazy bananas.
Bananas.
I would not.
For sure.
I'd be like, no.
I'm just
no,
gonna
you're gonna
stay
just
here.
Bring me coffee.
I was literally just gonna say that. Wait for my coffee.
Yeah.
When you guys are ready to fight, let me know.
I am not coming out there. Putting up with all of that.
Yeah. So there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be awkward. Not that.
All right. Do you have a fun fact for us?
Well, it's not exactly a fact, but I want to recommend a book.
Cool.
It is not a romance novel.
Alrighty.
But it is absolutely a book that everybody should read. Well, I will stand by the statement, everybody, definitely women, but I don't think it would hurt men to
okay.
know this shit about women's sexuality.
Okay.
And it is called Come As You Are by, hold on, let me get her name because I don't want to mess it up and it's...
Nirvana, maybe?
It's definitely by Nirvana.
Sorry.
I keep singing it in my head too every time
I
see the title.
As soon as she said it, it was in my head.
It's Come As You Are, The Surprising New Science That Will Transform Your Sex Life by Emily Nagoski, PhD. And it is fucking amazing. It is breaking down like all of the things that society tells us about our sex lives and what women's sexuality should be and
yeah.
how we're broken, and it's just like, no.
Whoa.
You're fucking not. Like, number one thing, off the top, you're not broken. The world
yeah.
we live in
yeah.
is broken, especially the world's ideas about sex are broken, and that is impacting your,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever your sexual function is or dysfunction, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever you're dealing with is normal. It's the world around you that's not. And that has caused a lot of the damage.
Yeah.
And how to deal. And not only that, but then what you can do to help. Like, to give yourself the sex life you want.
That's great.
No matter where you are on the spectrum of, you know, sexuality.
Okay.
So, it's fantastic. I am just bawling the whole time I'm reading it.
Sure.
A lot of it is, like, hitting really deep parts of you where you're just like, yes. You know,
wow.
like, there's stuff in there about attachments, and, like, attachment is, I cannot even go into it, because I
okay.
can't explain the book to you. You guys have to listen to it, because I will get it wrong, and I don't want to get it wrong. I want people to listen to it,
mm-hmm.
or read it, and get it right. And if you, like, I'm doing the audio version, but it is a book with, like, worksheets and stuff in it, so they have a PDF attached,
oh.
so I've printed off the PDF so I could do the, you know, quizzes and answers and do the worksheets, but I'm guessing if you get the full book, it probably comes with those inside of it.
That's
you
cool.
know, quizzes and things, so I really recommend it. Highly, especially, you know, anyone raising children. I don't think you start with this book per se, but once your daughters are old enough, you give this to them so they don't ever think they're broken, because we're constantly told that are, you know, we're not doing it right, or, like, if we aren't this way, it's wrong, and that's
mm-hmm.
not the case.
No.
Or that there's something wrong with us if we don't have the sex that we want.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
It's pretty much saying that the broken world is out there to keep tearing you down and to
yeah.
accept the brokenness of it.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
not good.
And if you accept it, then, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so many layers and layers of things that are, you know, like, teaching us wrong.
That's cool.
So I really recommend it. Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski.
That's
and
awesome.
So if anyone does anything from this podcast, read this book. If you've ever taken anything away, just read this book. I think it was a couple, I guess by the time this comes out, it'll have been months ago, but on our Facebook, I used her TED Talk as one of our
Friday
fun fuck facts.
Okay.
And I liked it so much that I got the book, because
mm-hmm.
I was like, man, this, like, one-page article, TED Talk speech or whatever, just hit me so hard. I want to know what she has to say in a whole book, and immediately I'm like...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
So
I'm working on things.
Well, that's good. Thanks for
mm-hmm.
sharing that. I think
yeah.
that's very important. I think any type of good, positive messages that we can send to our own,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well, I mean, just
good.
Simplest things like... learning about your anatomy.
Yeah.
And how we get anatomy wrong. And
like,
we assume
the
things.
Uterus.
The uterus. Yes. The wandering womb.
Yes.
You know, and we assume that because we think we know, culture imparts things to anatomy that aren't real. So.
Yeah.
And then instead of just understanding the actual biology of what these pieces are and what they do and how
mm-hmm.
they work, we assume we know that, and we don't.
All right.
So,
well, thanks for sharing
yeah,
that.
Good.
That's great.
Read it.
Awesome.
So,
rating.
Yes.
It's the only reason. I wait until we do it.
So well, at this point, you have to. If we ever had it up ready in advance, what would we do?
What would we do? All right. So I think I can give this book a 6, which is a sizzling 6, plot and all, mainly because I have a strong feeling. Obviously, this book is like, or this series is 20 books in.
I made up the number 20.
Oh, it's a couple books. Like, obviously,
it's a lot of
books.
It could be 20. It could be 15.
It's doing its job. Obviously, mm-hmm. people are wanting more of it, so it's being written. So I think that it's going to be portrayed out.
I desperately want to read Christmas in Atlantis.
Yeah.
Like, the next episode that we... When we record our episode that's going to come out at Christmas, I really think it should be Christmas.
That would be cool.
A very specific book.
Okay, but I think I can probably... And then I'll give this the 6 the same. Sizzling 6.
Yeah.
Just because, like, what you said, it was just the same throughout the whole...
Yeah.
There just wasn't
enough variety in the sex scenes to really up it from a sizzling to a... Mm-hmm. Whatever 7 is, toe curling.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked the scenes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed listening to them. And
it got squished.
It got me squishy. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right on there. I'd give it a solid 6. I mean, there's a room for improvement, but it's, you know, again, we have read worse books.
Oh, for sure. And this wasn't a terrible book.
It was not a terrible book. It just, there's room for improvement.
Sure.
There's a lot of places to go.
And I'm pretty sure it has.
100%.
I mean, like, if you think about how Harry Potter started.
Yeah.
Like, that was not very good, but the story was great, like, it mm-hmm. obviously. And then you get to the end, and it's just like, I mean, you're crying at mm-hmm. the very end because
yeah.
you're so impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Our next book that we're going to read is called Blood Laws. And laws, L-A-W-S.
Yes.
If
not
is
like
there
loss.
Okay. I was like, is there another word that sounds like?
Well,
that?
It sounds like blood loss, but
no.
It's not. It's blood laws.
Laws. yeah, by Lexi C. Foss.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be our next book. So make sure to come and join us for that.
Yeah. And in the meantime, please reach out to us on social media. We are Dirty Books on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All of that is with 3 H's.
And go check us out at our website at shdirtybooks.com. Rate, review, and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, any of those places
All
you would find podcasts. We're really trying to reach out and get ourselves out there. So if you guys really can, just go and give us a quick review and rate on iTunes, which is the place to be.
Rate.
That'd be great.
Rate us so
We'd
much.
Really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
And if you want... kind of a different place to interact. We're also on Goodreads, and we have a group.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I created it, and
you
I forgot
did.
About it. Yeah, so...
there might be a place there to talk about, you know, books more in depth, because it's more of, like, that book platform.
Yeah, or any
like
books...
discussion group.
Or any suggestions you guys might have.
Yeah, tell us what to read.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because, trust me, there's a lot out there, and it is hard to pick our next book
every
episode.
Every single time.
We're like, what are we going to read next?
Yep. And quick shout out to Jim Townsend.
Thank
you for the music for our intro and outro.
Love
and
it.
The beautiful music. And we are out, you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylette. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format, allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.